or something.
Well, I can't believe that. I'm so glad I didn't see it before we got here.
It's bad.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Levitard. That's Bomani Jones and Dominique Foxworth. That's Bomani Jones reacting to a clip that is later in this show that you're going to want to see. It revolves around Josh Allen. Let's get started.
Dominique, this is what we've been missing out on the whole time.
There's a whole secret language. We've got some secret wire for sound stuff that you're going to want to hear.
You said we?
Do you believe in the Browns now?
All right, the Browns have dominated conversation during a pandemic. Before First Take was doing entire segments about how interesting the Browns were supposed to be last year. The Browns have been uncommonly relevant, even though for 20 years they've been a total laughingstock. So there was a lot of interesting football yesterday. What happened with Seattle and the Giants is totally confusing to me. It was a lot of fun at the end of both the Houston game and that Lions-Bears game. But this is the story of the day specifically because that's the best game the Cleveland Browns have played this century. They beat the Titans. We have not seen that team look that way. And so now we're going to go hyperventilating in the other direction because they dominated a team that we all believe to be good. And you're allowed to be excited about the Cleveland Browns if you say maybe the last month has been diluted by both injury, because Baker Mayfield didn't look quite right and hasn't thrown a pick in a long time, and weather issues. This team might actually be good, even though I still have plenty of questions about a defense that is only good if Myles Garrett is stealing the football from the offense.
But this is the first time this year that they've beaten a good team. Like, the reason for reservation, even as they were 8-3, is what the eight were. But this one, that first half, Dan nailed it. I'm 40 years old. That's the best that they have ever looked in my life. And it wasn't just because they were putting up points. And it wasn't just like the quote unquote how they were putting up points. They looked like they believed it. Like, they looked like they got out there and got up early and were like, yo, we're better than them. And I ain't never seen the Cleveland Browns think they were better than anything or anybody. They don't even think they're better than Ohio State most of the years. And so we saw this. Now, how it's going to pan out for the rest of the year, I don't have an answer for you there. But if the argument you made against them, and it's definitely the one that I made, was who have they beaten? They just put the hurt to somebody that might not be great, but at the very least is decent. And that's more than we could say about them before Sunday.
So you're going to make me be the one to have to douse some cold water on this, huh? You guys decided that before you have a pre-show meeting? Because I'm old enough to remember last year when they stomped the Ravens in Baltimore at the beginning of the season, and people were jumping all over the place about how good they were. They're a loaded team. I understand that this Titans team is a playoff team, and they had a great run last year, but that Titan defense is horrendous. Like, they have always been horrendous all season. So I'm very happy that Baker was able to get off, and Baker looked great. He looked exceptional. I don't want to take anything from his performance. However, I have to. If you guys are talking about if they're for real, like championship for real, that's a stretch. They are a playoff team. They're playing like a playoff team.
Nobody said championship real. Dominique, does
define
Browns
for real
team,
for me.
Dominique, a Browns team belongs in the playoffs. That's happening in our lifetime. We haven't seen that. Kelly Holcomb was throwing for 400 yards in the playoffs. This has not happened before. This team deserves where it's gotten.
Oh, yeah, I'll give you that. I don't think they're a fluke team. They're going to make the playoffs, and they're going to deserve to make the playoffs. But once they get there, we'll see what shows up. They have one awesome player on defense. His name is Myles Garrett. And if anyone can control him, their defense is not very good. And on offense, it's all predicated upon Chubb being a monster that he is. That's tough when you get into postseason and all the defenses you play are going to be good. You're not going to get the good fortune of playing teams that have only an offense or only a defense. They're going to have to play some well-rounded teams, and I'm not sure that they are going to be able to stand up. The real test will be this weekend when they play the Ravens, who are quite depleted. But one thing you can count on is the Ravens are going to show up. So if they can beat the Ravens coming off of last week's game, then it'll be two in a row. Two potential quality opponent wins in a row. I'll be more likely to believe in the Browns at that point.
Look, man, what you basically just said there was you don't buy into Baker Mayfield, because I think part of the reason why people are so excited to say that the Browns are for real is by definition almost. For the Browns to be for real, Mayfield has to be for real, and that was the best game that he has probably played since he left Oklahoma. I am not a Baker Mayfield believer. I am not inclined to believe that a quarterback has one game, is good game, and suddenly turns into somebody that he has never been before. That's not really how this works. Somebody gets in there and start getting some heat on him, that's when you start getting to the answer of what Baker Mayfield is. And what that answer has been up to this point is, hey, I.
Did Marcus May get Greg Williams fired?
Look, man, I understand that we are now in an era of sports watching where people think that tanking is cool and they get excited about the idea of going 0-16. But there is little joy in the NFL like the we got our only win. Remember that time Johnny Morton went crazy on Jay Leno over that sort of thing? You know what I mean? Like, you don't get that very much. In the Jets, it looked like they were going to get their win. And then it was time for the Raiders to effectively throw a Hail Mary. And Greg Williams sent the house. He sent the house. You Madden players know it as Engage 8. Dominique, it's the cover zero in your world. And then Henry Ruggs, the fastest dude in the league, not named Tyreek Hill, ran past an undrafted free agent who runs a 4.6 in order to score a touchdown. Now, you would think that that would be enough to get Greg Williams fired, the fact that he was the dude that made that call. But I say Marcus May got him fired because, yeah, it's pretty bad that it happened. Before the players, it seemed like that was absolute last straw for them. Like, could you walk Greg Williams back into that locker room and have people actually do what he says? Like, Dominique, you let me know this, right? You played on a team once that called the 8-man blitz every single third down one season. How would you have felt about this?
Dominique made a face like it. He was smelling something terrible when you said what
he said. 4.6. He said 4.6. He said cornerback 4.6. He said those things in the same sentence was suggesting to me that there is a cornerback in the NFL who runs a 4.6, and that made me uncomfortable. It made me so nervous that I thought I was going to throw up. And then you put that cornerback across from Henry Ruggs. I honestly don't have a problem with the all-out zero blitz. Like, I love it as a cornerback because in that situation, you're like, look, they better throw a quick slant. I'm going to tackle it, a hitch or something like that, or they're going to go deep. There's not enough time to throw intermediate routes. So I would be happy in that situation if they gave me that. However, what they also did was this safety who was supposed to be adding on to the blitz. If your player stays in and blocks you, add on to the blitz. He kind of slow played it. So they had the worst of both worlds. They blitzed in a situation and didn't get pressure. So the corner was in a terrible situation. He started to bite on the intermediate route, which is the absolute only thing you can't do. But I understand Greg Williams' philosophy and strategy in that situation. I don't think it's as dumb a call as people think. And him losing his job today, Bo's right. It's all about putting him back in the locker room. It's not about his defense's production because they're like 26 by DVOA, which I know sounds pretty bad. But you know what? Their offense is 32nd. So if you're out here firing coordinators based on their production, it would seem like Greg Williams is not the first in line. So I feel slightly bad for him because I don't hate the call. And this is a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. But when you can't win no games, everybody got to go at some point. Greg Williams just gets to start his vacation a little bit earlier than Gase and the rest of them.
He gets a clean severance package. I'm curious because you guys are analyzing the micro and the football of it, but the macro of whether or not the Jets were purposely trying to lose that game, when you put in these scenarios, first of all, right before that, they were throwing into the end zone to another receiver that was open, and Carr just overthrew the ball. So that was right before that. There are 15 seconds left in the game. You cannot bite on the fake. You're talking about a 4-6 cornerback. That guy should have been standing on the goal line. He shouldn't. 4-6 shouldn't matter. 5-6 shouldn't matter. He should not be biting on a fake there. Did the Jets purposely try to lose that game? And now, like a dog after it poops that does that thing with its legs, they fire Greg Williams to make it look like they weren't purposely trying to lose that game.
No, those dudes are not purposely trying to lose. They just sorry. Like, a whole bunch of them just happened to be sorry. That dude right there just happened to be sorry. And to be fair to him on the out fake, it was early enough in the clock that he thinks that, yeah, of course you're going to run an out. You're not going to throw it straight to the end zone on me right now. But he also probably had to say, we're not running a Engage 8 right now, are we? Like, we're not. That's not going to happen right here.
I mean, the idea that the players are tanking or the coaches are tanking, like, that's hard for me to understand, having ever been in a competitive locker room. Like, I don't see that as something that players necessarily do.
Fair enough. But you tell me what it would look like if at the end of a game a team was trying to lose. You tell me it wouldn't look a lot like that. Like, that's all fair. You're being totally reasonable. But that's what it would look like. It would look just like that.
Okay, so tell me what it would look like if you were just sorry. Look a
you
lot like that,
too.
You
stand on the goal line and be sorry. You would not bite on a fake and be sorry. You'd stand on the goal line and be sorry.
No, no, no. Good players would stand on the goal line because they understand the situation. Bad players, they get up there and try to break on intermediate routes because they're sorry and they are poorly coached. Not because they tank it.
Look, Dominique, I would have defended that better than it was defended because my fat would have been on the goal line and I would have pass interfered or something. Like, I would have defended that better.
coming up next on my Soul Stevie Show.
Because there is no compelling reason for Carson Wentz to still be the starter. What exactly is it that you think is going to get better this year? He might be at that place where he just needs a hard reset, but it seems like they've made the move to Hurts, and I got bad news for him on that.
Highly Questionable is presented by Captain Morgan. There's more fun to be had. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Should the Eagles stick with Jalen Hurts for the rest of the season?
All right, so the Eagles finally got around to benching Carson Wentz in Green Bay. The dude hadn't averaged 7 yards an attempt since October. That's kind of wild in this modern NFL that you get to this point, but it's a big deal because that was their franchise quarterback, and Jalen Hurts was a second-round pick, and you don't draft second-round picks not to play. You draft them to be starters at some point, and my guess is they're probably going to go ahead and get started with that program because there is no compelling reason for Carson Wentz to still be the starter. What exactly is it that you think is going to get better this year? He might be at that place where he just needs a hard reset, but it seems like they've made the move to Hurts, and I got bad news for him on that. I have watched two, count them, two professional franchises, the Alabama Crimson Tide and the Oklahoma Sooners, both of them be limited by his passing. Like, I think they have to make the change. They could probably get some variety in things, put a little juice in here. You might even win the division, but my guess is Philadelphia is just at a place where they have to say, we probably don't have a franchise quarterback, and they thought they were going to have one for the next 10 years.
Yeah, there's no argument for starting Wentz in this situation other than the one that I've been hearing that I firmly disagree with is somehow this is having a negative psychological impact on Carson Wentz, and that's the reason why he's playing poorly. Because he had took a shot to his psyche when they were able to win the Super Bowl without him. He takes another shot to his psyche when they draft a second-round quarterback, even though they signed him to a long-term deal. And if you then bench him for the rest of the season, maybe that is the third strike against his mentality and he can't go forward. If that's the type of quarterback you have, then you don't really have a franchise quarterback. And I, as someone who is a football player, but also like somewhat well-adjusted and mature, like I'm not a guy who's out here like mental toughness. You got to be super tough. You can't, there's no room for any weakness. Like I understand as a player that sometimes the way your coaches talk about you or the way people around you talk about you impacts you mentally and that impacts you on the field. All that being said, if this is enough turmoil to throw you off of your game as a starting NFL quarterback, then you ain't got a franchise quarterback. How much more love do you need? How much more confidence do you need than becoming the highest paid quarterback in history when you signed that contract? They showed you they believe in you. Who care who they drafted? Who care who won them the Super Bowl? They made the decision by committing to you in such a way financially. If you can't, if that's not enough for you to believe in yourself and play well, then you ain't a starting quarterback in NFL.
I am stunned by the precipitous decline of this football team because we've seen enough of Nick Foles before that and after that to know that Nick Foles looked like that, the Super Bowl MVP, because of how overwhelming all the parts on that team were. Carson Wentz, I have not checked these stats in the last couple of weeks, but last time I checked, most interceptable passes, Carson Wentz was 23 ahead of Josh Allen, who was at 17. Carson Wentz has been the worst starting quarterback in football, and worse than that, has been someone who is reckless with a football. He only throws 7 yards. You're better off with Jalen Hurts just running around and protecting the football. If he turns it over, then he will also be as bad as Carson Wentz. But Carson Wentz has been fundamentally useless this year.
Presented by Captain Morgan. There's more fun to be had. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Do you question James Harden's commitment to the Rockets?
So you guys corrected me here recently because I'm just used to now after 10 years of LeBron player empowerment and the idea that anybody who wants out of a contract that's a star of James Harden's magnitude can get out of it. And you guys said 3 years, 3-year contract. That is not something that you see a lot of guys getting out of. This is the way that you get out of it. You keep making more and more of a mess. So he's not shown up to practice, not shown up to the things that he was supposed to be at. The coach is already saying you got to take it up when he gets here. If he gets here, he was at Lil Baby's birthday party. He was in Vegas. He's doing things basically that aren't even going to be allowed according to the NBA, which is gatherings of more than 15 clubs, spas. Those things aren't going to be allowed this year. And that's where James Harden is starting this tour of trying to create as much as unrest as possible. This is doomed here. This is doomed. It's not going to be a situation that lasts very long.
Okay, so power doesn't have to make messes to get what they want. That's the thing about it. Like, he's going to be able to figure out a way out of this by throwing enough tantrums, but I think the thing that's going to get him out of here is this one. Did you know that Tillman Fertitta just took his company, Landry's, public? because that man needs money, right? Like, the best path for him to get out, I think, is to go into the office and be like, dog, y'all don't want to pay me all this money. Let's figure out a way that you don't have to pay me all this money. Instead, he's going to do this, which is just going to alienate him from his peers. And I don't think that's going to work the way that he ultimately wants it to. Now, to me, if I'm the Rockets, don't show up. That's fine. Set fire to your professional reputation. Put the stuff up on Instagram all day long. Problems are going to come when he actually shows up. And if he wants to get put off the team, I know the way you do that. Andrew Bynum had the best move ever to get put off a team. That dude showed up to practice one day, and every time he touched the ball, he shot it. No matter where he was on the floor, even from the backcourt, he caught the ball and shot it. That's how you get them to trade you when they can't have practice with you out there.
How is that different from how James Harden currently plays? Does he not shoot the ball every time he gets
no, like, I mean, I'm not sure that's very touches,
I understand. No, he catches it in the backcourt.
No dribble.
The Rockets wouldn't even notice the difference. The Rockets wouldn't even notice the protest. They'd be like, James, you're back to being normal.
James be on the phone with his agent. Like, I'm doing what you told me to do. I'm shooting it every time I touch it. And they keep telling me, keep shooting, champ. But, I mean, I understand your professional reputation argument. But let's be honest. It's really not going to impact his professional reputation, or it's not going to impact his career. It may impact his reputation, but the next place he goes, should this work, they're not going to care about all that stuff. We've seen it happen time and time again. You become the fan favorite once you get to a city and you bring that city closer to a championship, and all the players on that team will understand and rally around you. So I'm not sure that it hurts his reputation with anyone outside of Houston. So I hate it. It's not fun. It's not comfortable. It's not easy to do. But if that's the power that you have, that's the power that you have. And you're right, Bo, that making a mess like this suggests that you don't have that much power. But as a former NFL player, I look over at that and say, it sure seemed like a lot of power to me.
Tonight at 8:15 p.m. Eastern, Monday Night Football, Bills and 49ers.
I believe that the people watching this show right now who love Josh Allen look at these three people on their screen and say, this group of people are the biggest group of Josh Allen haters that I will find anywhere in the media, even though I feel like we've all seeded that, okay, you can win with him, but he's going to make a lot of mistakes. Let's see if this is one of them right here. He's mic'd up. What did he do?
The snap. Josh Allen keeps it himself. Going to try to run to the corner of the end zone. He dives in, and is he in? Yes, touchdown, Buffalo.
Yeah, he got called for taunting. He spun the football right at the feet of Michael Davis.
What did he do, spike it or something?
He got up and he spinned it right at the guy, right at his feet.
He's a good kid. I'll talk to him.
Oh, absolutely. He's just excited. That doesn't make him a bad kid. He's a competitor, man. I like that about him.
I know. All right, thank you, guys. Yeah. I got him. Hey, listen, I'm only coming over to say that if you get another one, you're disqualified. That's all. Just so you know.
Yes, okay. Sir.
I like the swagger, though, damn it. That's a great drive, baby.
He's a good kid. Okay, very good. Dominique, are you intrigued?
I mean, I think this is a point that Bo has made before, is that I'm not against Josh Allen. It's the people who seem to want to pretend that Josh Allen's something that he's not, because he seems like a funny guy. He's a good kid, according to his coach and according to the referees. It all seems fine. Like, I'm all for showboating, taunting, ball spinning. That's all fine and fun to me. I think Tyreek Hill did a backflip before he even went in end zone. I love that stuff. But you just have to understand that Josh Allen is not going to be Patrick Mahomes, no matter how hard you pray.
Bo, what do you got? You're making faces the whole time here.
I watched that clip, and I had a very familiar feeling sweep over me, and I know now what watching that reminded me of. That time Eddie Murphy was on Saturday Night Live, and he dressed up like a white man, and he was just walking around seeing what it was like to be white, and he went into that place and had the newspaper, and the dude was like, take it. Just take it. That's what that felt like. So this is what happened when white folks get caught doing something stupid in football that costs your team 15 yards, right? A delicate explanation from the rep to the coach, and then an even more delicate explanation from the coach to the player. And again, this is not Josh Allen's fault. It's you, Herbs, who put us in a situation where we have to remind y'all that y'all are being Herbs.
That's fairly amazing. It is fair. Dominique, like that, the coaches and the refs were being awfully nice about a 15-yard dumb penalty. Like, that was awfully gentle.
I mean, I guess Bo is right. However, they did throw the flag. So, progress?
I feel like they were apologizing for it. Like, we were so sorry we threw that flag. We had to. People saw it. Otherwise, we would have covered it up for you.
It was a textbook taunting call. It wasn't about the spin. saying is that he got up in the dude's face. And I am okay with that being a penalty because otherwise it'd be a lot more dudes getting hit in the face.
Well, that's my father called. I was going to be Gonzalo Levitar. My father called me Dan so I wouldn't have to put up with any of the stuff you guys put up with.
Yep, it did, as we discussed. Then you had a TV show that you were trying to sell to Latinos who weren't my
as an added bonus, became a black show. Good night, everybody. That's Bomani Jones and Dominique Foxworth, the right time and the undefeated. Check them out.